Well, shall we turn together to the book of Genesis again in chapter 39? Let me say thanks for your welcome, and thanks, Stephen, and thanks for your prayers. Lovely to come and share God's word and again and to share fellowship together. But let's just pray together, shall we, before we commence our time in the Lord's word. Our Father, we thank you again for this time together. We thank you for the throne of grace to which we may come boldly. We thank you for the mercy that we can obtain and grace to help in times of need. And we thank you too, Lord, that we can praise you together with our songs and with our words. And we thank you too that just now we can meditate upon your word together. And we praise you for that. We thank you for your word, living, powerful, and pure. And we pray, Lord, that your word would be a means of blessing to us, an encouragement to us, and a challenge to us. And Lord, we pray that above all we might bring glory to your name. So we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for worship together. We thank you for this time when we can meditate upon your truth. And we pray that what is said and what is done might redound to your honor and to your praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, I've been looking into the life of Joseph, and that's why we're in Genesis 39 this evening. And I'm sure most of us know something about the life of Joseph. There have been plenty of publicity about it, isn't it? And West End musicals and so on. But not always in keeping with the word of truth, I don't think. But you know, he had a difficult time, didn't he? He was a young man, just 17 years of age. He'd been sent to see his brothers, and he'd come back with a bad report of what was happening among the brothers. And of course, he was disliked by the brethren because of this. Then the brethren went away. He was sent away to see how they were doing and to bring back a report. But of course, he never went back. He'd been cast into that pit by his brethren. And they go home and tell Jacob this botched up story about, you know, or to put in Jacob's mind that some beast had torn him to pieces. And then, of course, he is sold as a slave and he ends up in the house of Potiphar. And this is where we are this evening. And there is a key to the life of Joseph. If you ever look at the life of Joseph in any depth, the key to the life of Joseph is found in verse 2 of our reading, where we read that the Lord was with Joseph. And as you end that chapter, there we find him in prison, and the Lord was with him. And also, as we'll see this evening, he was with him in Potiphar's house. Well, this is not an easy chapter to look into, but when you're doing something, or studying something and presenting it consecutively, you can't just dodge it. Else you're going to come under some conviction about it. But here we find this young fella, maybe 18, 19 years of old, maybe a bit more. He's in the house of Potiphar. And what we see here is purity in the home. If you don't remember anything else this evening, what I say, remember, we see this, purity in the home. We find him as one who was appreciated by Potiphar because Joseph, was appreciative of his master's house and his master's belongings and so on. He was contented. He was trustworthy because of his faithfulness to his Lord, his God. He had been given oversight by Potiphar over his master's house. Potiphar had seen the potential of this young man and he allowed that potential to be developed. And in so doing, the house, his house and his household was blessed. Joseph had first been given oversight over his brothers, hadn't he, by Jacob. And of course, that brought persecution to him. And we see that persecution just go on for a little while in his life. He was a target, wasn't he, for the old devil. And because of the testing, and because of his experience, he moves on a few steps and he becomes stronger. He is one who looked to the Lord, who was trustworthy and faithful to God. And he was one who seemed separated to the task by God. And you know, we can look for those with whom the Holy Spirit is setting apart for particular tasks in the church, can't we? In the local church. And if there is potential, if we see potential there, that needs to be taken hold of, and that needs to be encouraged, it needs to be developed under God. If someone says, well, I have this gift or such and such a gift, yes, we have to beware, but we need to test it and not snuff it out, as it were. Normally the Holy Spirit makes them evident to us. If someone says, I feel called to some particular task, we must do all that we can to test that and to seek to develop that gift. Then there are those who will say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And perhaps they say that under conviction and out of disobedience. And they also need to be encouraged, and that's when we need great wisdom, isn't it? The Lord was with Joseph every step of the way. And we see, as you look at his life, we see how that potential was unfolded in his life and in his lifestyle. Let's never forget that. Potiphar was a stranger to Israel, but he loved Joseph and he honored him as an instrument of God's providential blessing upon himself and upon his household. Potiphar recognized that he was a partaker of Joseph's love and his obedience to God. And his house was blessed through this. And the Bible says, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored. There we read that in Proverbs 27. And that is what we see, don't we, in the home and now the household of Potiphar. But we see now how, also here, how position and honor can bring pressure and it can bring persecution. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that without question was his experience, Joseph's experience at that particular time. Still a young man, and we read there that he was handsome in form and appearance. But because of his appearance, pressure was to come. Testing was to come. There was blessing there in that house, and the old devil wasn't going to sit back. He wasn't going to let them get away with it. And we can be sure when the Lord is blessing, Satan will attack. His eye is upon us. Let's not forget it. And that attack will come to an area where he knows where we are vulnerable. And we have to confess that there are areas in all our lives where we are vulnerable. And they need to be taken to the Lord in prayer. That's the only place for them. This young man was handsome, virile, we might say, and it became a snare to Potiphar's wife. We see that in verse 7. Now it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. A young man, favored by his master, placed in a position of great authority and great responsibility, and the house was blessed. Potiphar and his wife, they were having a better lifestyle. Their standard of living was now higher because of God's blessing upon Joseph. She had more time on her hands because of the blessing. She had more servants, perhaps, and she used less energy. Perhaps. She had time to look. And she had time to lust. Because the old devil always finds work for idle hands, doesn't he? And sin was spread out here before this young man. Prophet. There was prophet there. But now this pleasure was before him. How easily he could have been swayed. How easily he could have been taken up by this request of Potiphar's wife. But the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. You know, high standards of living can sometimes bring and be a snare, can't they? It was then, it still is. In the towns, in the villages, wherever. More broken marriages now. More broken homes. More lives in ruin. Broken in pieces and wounds which some wounds can never be healed except through repentance and the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman's eyes were snared, weren't they? And her heart, she lost all sense of decency and all sense of shame. What a dangerous situation Joseph finds himself in this home. And then in verses 8 and 9, his reply is one of refusal. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There's no one greater in his house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He held fast, didn't he, to his integrity, and he proved the power of God over temptation. And it wasn't just once, was it? It kept on coming day after day. And he proved the power of God. She completely ignored his statement at the end of verse 9. "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Never mind her. Never mind his master. It was God. It was his concern. It was God who he would be sinning against. Joseph feared God in the right sense. And he revered God. And he revered God's word also. And he reminds her of her commitment to her husband. Her obligation to her husband. "He has kept nothing back but you," says Joseph. Surely that ought to have served as a reminder to her of the sanctity of that marriage. That statement ought to have pierced her heart. But her desire controlled her. Satan was in control. But there's purity in that home. And she didn't recognize it. Instead of noticing the difference in Joseph and seeking to follow the example that he was setting in that home, she continues day after day to torment him. Satan didn't give in, did he? Because God was at work and God was blessing. And the Lord was with Joseph, you see. And Satan was there to spoil. Friends, I believe if God's hand of blessing is upon any of us as individuals, God's hand of blessing is upon you or any local church, Satan is interested. And we need to pray, don't we, that the Lord would rebuke the devourer for our sake. Oh, how Satan didn't give in here. He's on his own. He's led into the wilderness situation, if you like. There's no one in the house. And she was consistent with the temptation. He with the resistance. Such was the strength that he found in his Lord. She brought great pressure to bear upon him. But the Lord was with him. What an encouragement that is to every one of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with us every step of the way, even to the end of the age. And it is so easy at a time such as we find here, a time of temptation, to become forgetful, isn't it? Lose the benefit of knowing what is right. Temptation can grip our hearts and grip our wills and leave us wide open to the devil's attack. And that one moment of forgetfulness has left many, many people miserable for life. But not so with Joseph. The Lord was with him. Day by day she had come and particularly when he was alone. And he said no. So it was, as in verses 10, 11, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her, to lie with her or be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, none of the house men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Men, and I speak to myself, how would we stand the test? How would we stand the test? Young people here, as you grow older, no doubt have to face temptation, maybe put under great pressure. Remember, the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with you if you put your trust in him. How would we stand the test? You know, the Lord himself gives that strength to resist temptation. Just as the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, the old devil came to him, didn't he? It is written. We need to know the word of God. We need to love the word of God. And we need to speak the word of God when Satan comes to us and get behind me. Young people, be careful in choosing a partner. To be unequally yoked is to be at variance with God's word. If we have friendships with non-Christians, don't let it go too far. Some allow friendships to become a relationship and then marriage, and it's disobedience to the word of God. It always amazes me how someone can love a person who do not love our Savior. You ever think about that? God calls his children to be pure, holy, and to be unequally yoked is a contradiction in terms. It was Joseph who was tempted and tested, and of course it throws the spotlight on us men, without doubt. But what if we just turn the coin over? Ladies, how would you stand the test? How would we all stand the test? We have to be honest to be able to stand the test. We need the power of God, don't we? No other way. We'll fail without it. Without him, we can do nothing. Abide in me, says Jesus, for without me you can do nothing. As we have sung together, I could not do without thee, O Saviour of the lost, whose precious blood redeemed me at such tremendous cost. Joseph here is a great example for us of purity. And through that, he had power to resist her advances and to resist the pressure which was coming from the old devil himself. You see, the blessing for him was he never forgot his God, did he? Never forgot it. It was the fear of offending God which activated this. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was what thrilled him, because he loved his God, and that is the life lived for God, and that controlled him, didn't it? Friends, we're wrong to pray for power. You hear it in some places, people will pray for power. And friends, it's wrong unless we pray first for purity. We need to be pure before God can pour out his power and his blessing through us. We read there in that psalm together at the beginning, Psalm 24 and verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. Friends, we must always be on our guard, mustn't we? We must always be aware as not giving in and not giving way. Let's always be on our guard. It's easy to become proud and think to ourselves, well, it won't happen to me. The Bible says, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Fear God. This is the whole duty of man. And then as you move on down here to verse 12, Joseph is stripped of his garment. But it happened, then she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. He's stripped of a garment yet again, isn't he? His brothers had stripped him of a garment, a tunic of many colours. And now in a moment of fury, a moment of the hardness of her heart, she catches him by his garment. There was no shame in this person. But he avoids the tempter here, doesn't he? We read there in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Do not consent. He lost his garment, but he never lost his character, did he? He had a physical strength to pull free. He had the moral strength to say no. And he had the spiritual strength to overcome. His outer garment was gone. But you know, as you look at the life of Joseph, he had another garment. He had upon him the breastplate of righteousness, didn't he? He had a fear of God in his heart, and that motivated him, and it kept him from sin against God here. But she's left with this garment, isn't he? In verse 13, "And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, 'See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice.'" Her passion here turns to anger. She couldn't get her way. And anger turned into bitter hatred, and she slanders his name. Purity had been put to the test, and by God's grace stood the test. He was a triumph of grace, wasn't he? A trophy of grace. Grace triumphs over sin. But purity also led to persecution again. Yet more lies are told. Her to the men or the servants. And then Potiphar heard her lie. What an insult. Wasn't Potiphar slow here? Would a guilty man leave behind his garment or evidence? He was not guilty, but that was there. And here Potiphar, he loved Joseph, but he didn't examine the evidence. He did not give his choice servant a fair hearing or trial, call it what you like. And his anger ruled his head. And it doesn't seem Joseph was given an opportunity to speak for himself. Of course Potiphar loved his wife above his servants. She was kept back. But he didn't examine the truth. And Joseph is cast into prison. But friends, this is all pointing back to the Lord Jesus as well, isn't it? Our Saviour was falsely accused. He was mocked. He was stripped. He was spit upon. He was beaten. He's crucified upon a cross to save his people from their sin. And sadly, many are like Potiphar and do not examine the truth. There are multitudes who will hear the truth of the gospel in chapels and churches today, but they won't, under God's grace, examine the truth. The truth that sets them free. The truth that Christ died for sinners. But we might go free. As they cried, "Crucify the Lord Jesus Christ." Barabbas went free. A murderer was saved. And the Prince of Life they slay, didn't they? And many will hear the truth of the gospel today, but they'll be like Potiphar, they'll not examine the truth. And they'll go in on their own way. Joseph was falsely accused. He was cast into prison. But friends, how encouraging as you read at the end of the chapter. The keeper of the prisoner did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand. What trust? Trust in the prison. Because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Friends, Jesus, in his hours of anguish, was forsaken upon the cross. God hid his face from our dear Saviour upon the cross. As darkness covered the earth, forsaken. Joseph wasn't forsaken. The Lord was with him. And the Lord is with us. And Jesus was forsaken upon that cross that we might never be forsaken. The one who died, the one who lives and lives within us, is with us every step of the way. I am with you always, he said, even to the end of the age. And friends, there are great challenges in this chapter, and we've only really skirted it, haven't we? But let's take it to heart, and let's look to the Lord, and let's trust him, and remember that he's with us, just as he was with Joseph in all his trials, and all the blessing also. The Lord is with Joseph. Amen.